This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our next guest is leading a national conversation that's both groundbreaking and controversial, using psychedelic-assisted therapy to treat depression, PTSD, addiction, and anxiety. Tanya De Jong is co-founder of Mind Medicine Australia, a not-for-profit working to bring evidence-based psychedelic therapies into clinical settings. But that's just one side of her story. She's also an acclaimed soprano and the founder of Creative and Social Enterprises as well. Tanya, welcome to Drive.
Thanks so much, Warren.
Let's start with the basics. What exactly is psychedelic-assisted therapy and how does it work?
So psychedelic-assisted therapy uses a medicine that helps a person who wants to potentially heal their mental illness or addiction go into an altered state of consciousness, and then with the help of two skilled therapists, they can then take the medicine, be in the altered state, and also receive extraordinarily meaningful insights and learnings about their life so far and some of what may be holding them back, their past trauma or traumas. And then with the help of the therapist, they can find new insights and learnings to help them come into the present instead of always bringing the past into the present, and then start to create a better future. So it's a combination of a medicine, usually either psilocybin or MDMA or sometimes ketamine. They're the main medicines that we're working with in Australia, combined with psychotherapy. So the medicines on their own, you know, will not be nearly as effective as a patient having the psychotherapy alongside it. So usually a course of treatment takes about 4 months. And that might include 2 to 3 medicinal dosing sessions, and the rest of it is psychotherapy.
With the altered state of consciousness, how does that facilitate the healing process as opposed to, say, just therapy alone with a psychologist or a counsellor?
Yes, well, that's because normally when you're just talking in your normal cognitive state of consciousness, you know, the normal one we're in most times, like we are right now, you know, you generally tend to be fairly close to new information coming in, and you generally, even, you know, if you don't have a mental illness, we tend to be fairly stuck and rigid as we grow older in our lives. And, you know, we might have some very firmly held beliefs that are pretty hard to budge, programs and patterns that have been set down since our early childhood often. And so these medicines help us to break out of that, to create new patterns of thinking, to reconnect the neural pathways in our brains and connect different hemispheres of our brains, creating massive neurogenesis, because the medicines often help to bypass what's called the default mode network of our brain, which is what keeps us defaulting or stuck in the same sort of programs and thoughts as I was talking about just before. So this is really a chance for people to set some new pathways and to create more flexibility in their brains for a window of time in which an experienced therapist and trained therapist will be able to help them. And we're seeing extraordinary remission rates with these treatments, you know, 60 to 80% remission rates after just 2 to 3 medicinal treatments with a short course of psychotherapy, whereas with traditional treatments like antidepressants for depression or treatments for trauma, well, the remission rates for antidepressants and psychotherapy is around about 15%. And for trauma, the existing treatments really only get about 5 to 10% of patients in remission, whereas, you know, we're seeing the 60 to 80% remission rates from thousands of patients trialled around the world. And of course, now Australia has become the first nation in the world to reschedule psilocybin and MDMA for clinical use. So since 2024, over 100 patients have been treated in Australia, and that might not sound like much, but all these things start slowly and then they build over time. And of course, it's a question of affordability as well and training hundreds of therapists. So we've already trained, by the end of this year, we'll have trained about 600 psychiatrists, psychologists, GPs, nurses, counsellors, social workers and others who are fascinated by this work, because it gives them new tools in their toolbox to really start to get patients well, which is, you know, a huge challenge, because if you're seeing those really low remission rates, it starts to give you a sense of, well, how am I ever going to get my patients well? And this gives people a really wonderful sense of hope, both practitioners and patients, that they can go back and get their lives back and lead meaningful and healthy lives contributing back to the community, which we so urgently need in this time of utter chaos and, you know, uncertainty.
We're chatting with Tanya DeJong, founder of Mind Medicine Australia and one of the driving forces behind legal therapeutic use of psychedelics for mental health. Now, Tanya, what kinds of conditions, I know you mentioned depression earlier, but what other conditions are being treated in this way in Australia right now?
Well, particularly depression and particularly treatment-resistant depression. So that might be where, you know, someone has tried one or two antidepressants and psychotherapy and nothing's really working. And then there's post-traumatic stress disorder. A number of people getting treated may also have addictions, and there's great success with these types of therapies and medicines for people with addiction. And then there's also a number of trials going on in Australia and globally around eating disorders such as anorexia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, early cognitive decline, so you know, early stage dementia and so on. There's also pretty good evidence now showing potential benefits for those who are suffering with cluster headaches, fibromyalgia and Parkinson's disease. And there's some really, I mean, it's just extraordinary when you see the sort of expanse of what could be treated. And back in the 50s and 60s, tens of thousands of patients were treated in clinical environments with these medicines. And then President Nixon came along and had his war on drugs in around about 1970, and that stopped all funding and research in this field for the best part of 50 years. And it's really just over the last 15 years that there's been this major renaissance of interest and research and funding back into this field, because we have this massive mental health epidemic. I mean, in Australia, one in four, one in five Australians are known to have a mental illness, and one in six Australians or on antidepressants or other psychiatric medications, and one in four adults over the age of 55. And, you know, one in 30 children, including children as young as 4 years old. So, and these medications don't work or have significant side effects for many people. And so they don't work for everyone. In fact, they don't work for the majority of patients. So we're not able to get people well. And that's pretty sad, because everyone deserves to have access to safe and effective treatments.
Now, you've spoken about your own struggles as well with mental health. Did that experience lead to you explore the psychedelics as therapy?
I didn't so much have mental health issues as I'm the daughter and granddaughter of Holocaust survivors. So I was always aware that I was potentially epigenetically carrying some of that trauma, which obviously is a huge trauma to experience for, you know, for my ancestors. And I wasn't actually there. But, you know, I've often, like when I, before I found out about these medicines, I couldn't be in the same room as, you know, if a film ever mentioned the Holocaust or something came up about the Holocaust, I had to leave the room. And so that is a form of trauma, and I was being triggered by that. And so when I read about these therapies back in 2015, 2016, I just thought, wow, this is amazing. And, you know, I've always been a bit of a biohacker. So, you know, I've done lots of meditation and yoga and hyperbaric therapies and all sorts of different therapies. Whatever's, you know, been around, I've tried it. But I'd never, ever had any drugs at all. Like, I never even got drunk. My preferred drug of choice has always been singing.
Which we'll get to in a moment.
We will, but, you know, I'd always actually been pretty anti-drugs, you know, any kind of drug, really. And so when I heard about these, and, of course, you know, we often call something a drug, but actually the way I think about it now is these are medicines. And like any medicine, if they're used wisely and with the appropriate supervision in the right set and setting, then they are absolutely a wonderful way for the right patients to get well. Now, I'm not saying that these are suitable for every single patient, and there are certain exclusions. So people who have psychotic episodes in their background or in their families, bipolar disorder and other disorders may not qualify to receive these treatments at the moment. Though there is research going on for all sorts of mental illnesses. It's very exciting.
What's the reaction been like from the medical professionals that you've been training?
Oh, amazing. I mean, like, firstly, they love the training. It's called a certificate in psychedelic assisted therapy. So they love the course. I mean, we have people like Bessel van der Kolk and Gabor Maté and, you know, leading clinicians and researchers in the field teach people. So any clinicians out there, you know, you'll love the training, but also they love it because they're getting a chance to actually practice in this field and work with patients in altered states to try to get them well. And so far, we've heard from many, many psychiatrists and clinicians who are working with the patients that the outcomes are extraordinary. You know, some say that they've been seeing their patients for decades, and in one day of medicine therapy with an integration session, they're seeing improvements that are beyond the previous 15 years of therapy.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing. And we're very pleased that the Australian government has, you know, has chosen Australia to lead in this field. And that has meant that a lot of therapists and researchers are now moving to Australia because this is a great place for people to come to and work in this field legally, which in many other countries they can't do yet. And also when we did do the rescheduling applications, we received over 13,000 support submissions towards the rescheduling of psilocybin MDMA, which is like more than 10 times as many supportive submissions as has ever occurred for any other medicine that the TGA has put forward for potential rescheduling. But actually, interestingly enough, tomorrow, there's one more submission we're just in the process of doing at the moment, which is using psilocybin for palliative care for patients who have an end-of-life terminal diagnosis and have stress and anxiety around that, which any of us would have around that sort of diagnosis. And so tomorrow, I think at the end of the business day tomorrow, applications close for people to put a support submission in, which could just be tick the box that they want psilocybin to be available to those who are suffering with a terminal illness and needing psilocybin treatment for palliative care, which is incredible. And I think a lot of people have put submissions in, but it's not too late. And people can see this on our website, mindmedicineaustralia.org.au, and we're a registered charity, and you can have a look there, or you can go to the TGA and see the rescheduling submissions where you can put your name down and support this really important amendment.
Tanya, you mentioned that your music is your therapy. We're going to play one of your songs. What are we playing? Tell us about it, and why is it so important to you?
Yeah, I mean, so singing is, you know, my first passion and, you know, source of great joy over many years. And I've also started other charities like the Song Room and Creativity Australia and the With One Voice Choirs that bring together people to sing together, because there's a lot of neuroscience that shows that when we sing with others, we become smarter, healthier, happier, more creative. We breathe together, our hearts beat together. It's a super wonder drug. It improves our memory, language and concentration. I've got a TED Talk, How Singing Together Changes Your Brain. And it's awesome. And so this song, Somewhere, from West Side Story, is one of my favourites on one of my albums called Heaven on Earth. And people can find my albums on Tanya DeYoung, TanyaDeJong.com. And this song really invites us to look inside. You know, we're always looking for affirmation and reinforcement outside of ourselves, but this song invites us to look inside for that place of love and learning and forgiveness, and that's always within us. We just have to become still enough to find that place of peace, that place of hope, and that place that is always there for us to connect to ourselves and to the planet.
Tanya, lovely chatting with you. We're going to play it now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you. That's Tanya DeJong. And here it is, Somewhere on Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.